salvation and the new birth. Understanding salvation and the new birth. I was raised in church, and I'm thankful for that. My parents raised me and my brother and my sister in church. I often say I was in church 9 months before I was born. We were one of those families that was there every time the doors were open. And on rare occasion, I can only think of maybe two or three occasions in my lifetime that we were out of town on a Sunday. And if we were out of town on a Sunday, we were going to find a church. I mean, it was just, amen. That's just how we were raised. And the particular denomination, at least for the first portion of my life that I was raised in, we were presented with the message of salvation every Sunday morning. And I'm not knocking that. Please hear me. I'm thankful for that. But the message of salvation is one thing, but a deeper dive into so that we can understand salvation and the new birth is another thing altogether. There are a lot of people on planet Earth who have received God's gifts of salvation and the new birth, but do not understand salvation and the new birth. That does not mean they are not saved. The Bible says that God desires for all people everywhere to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. A huge portion of the truth that Father God desires for you and me to come to the knowledge of requires a salvation and new birth experience first. In other words, there are certain things that will always be foolishness, the Bible says, to the natural mind. A natural mind or a natural man or woman, according to the Word of God, is a man or woman who's never been born again. The Bible says to that man or woman, the things of God are foolishness. It makes no sense to them. It's something that they are incapable of comprehending or processing, because the truth which comes from God, God is truth, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, the Bible says it must be spiritually discerned. So if our spirits are dead, and for a man or a woman who's not been born again, they have a spirit, but the spirit inside of them is dead. There's no life flowing into it. I will be quick on this because some of you have heard me say it umpteenth numbers of times. Amen. But think about a cell phone that's dead. If your cell phone is dead, one of two or both of these two things are taking place. The battery's dead, so we say it's dead, or we have juice, but we have no tower. We're not connected to the tower, not receiving signals from a tower. And so we would say in either one of those situations, my phone is dead. Well, before we were born again, our spirit was dead. That doesn't mean it didn't exist any more than your phone being dead, meaning your phone doesn't exist. We had a spirit. It was simply not connected to the source of life, God. It was not connected to the power, nor was it connected to the tower. And with a dead spirit, we can't understand the things that Father God desires for you and me to understand. Do you remember when Jesus said to the disciples, there are so many more things that I have to tell you, but you are not able to bear them. You are not able to hear them and receive them. You are not able to take this ball, so to speak, and run with it. That doesn't mean that Jesus could not have told them and that they could have taken notes and repeated it back. But all of that would have been very shallow understanding in their brain, in their meat computer, that would have eventually sailed right over their heads. Classic example of this would be when Jesus told them time and time and time again that he was going to be arrested, he was going to be beaten, he was going to be crucified, he was going to die, he was going to be buried, he was going to be raised again on the third day. But when the third day came and his tomb was empty, they were wondering who stole his body. And there's an interesting verse right there in the scriptures. It says, for they did not yet know that he would be raised from the dead. Well, how many times did he tell them? But see, hearing it is one thing, knowing it or having the ability to spiritually discern and understand, see something, have understanding that changes the way you look at things, the way you expect things, right? We're talking about something on a different level now. So there are a lot of born again people who are born again. They will be in heaven one day by rapture or by the grave. But they have little to no understanding of what happened to them when they were saved, when they were born again. They have little to no understanding of what was given to them, what was done for them, who they became through that salvation and new birth experience. And this is a real problem. And we've talked about this from different angles. But remember, you don't have to understand the birds and the bees to be alive physically on planet Earth. A young man can live for many, many years without understanding how he was conceived, how he was carried in his mother's womb, and how she gave birth to him. He does not have to understand all of that to be alive and present on planet Earth. But if he wants to have a family of his own one day, he is going to have to understand some things. So with the understanding of the new birth and our salvation comes the fruitfulness of it. Now, let me make a couple of more statements here. Understanding salvation and the new birth is something that comes after we receive salvation and the new birth. And it is something, thank God, that continues, because the full dimension of God's love and grace and gifts and what's been done for us, what's been given to us and who we became, is something that we learn and grow up into. It is a process. How many of you know more about it today than you knew about it 6 months ago or 6 weeks ago? Yeah. And so, but notice now, the more we understand, the more we grow up into it, the more that understanding positively affects and influences our life reality. So for someone to receive salvation and the new birth, amen, but not understand salvation and the new birth, what that looks like is it changes their eternal destination, but without the understanding of that comes along with salvation and the new birth, without that understanding, very little change will be realized in their daily life reality. Now, I know that for some people, but no, just think about it here, please, right? It doesn't mean we're not saved. And I got verse after verse. We've been looking in Galatians 4. That's probably one of the easiest ones to look at. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 talks about you being an heir of God, a child of God, right? But as long as you are unenlightened, born again, one with God, but as long as you're unenlightened, your life reality is not going to look like the king, ruler, priest that you are, but your life reality is going to look more like that of the slave you were instead of the son that you've become. And there's verse after verse after verse that supports this in the scripture. And pardon me if some of you are you know, online watching, new to all this, and some of these things I'm just throwing out there like they're givens, and maybe you've never heard or had anyone explain that to you. But again, let's go back to it. Receiving the gifts of salvation and the new birth are important and will change your eternal destination. But where the real difference is realized in our daily life reality, amen, that is realized through our understanding. Remember, we're told to work out or walk out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Discipleship is defined many ways, and one of the ways discipleship is defined is by the inward reality of the new birth becoming an outward expression of life. Again, this is discipleship. The Bible says, as we received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in Him. So we're talking about walking something out. We're talking about taking what we've been given, taking what we've been made, taking what's been done for us, and learning how to walk that out in our daily life reality. That comes with understanding. That comes with a recognition of, an acknowledgement of, what's been done for us, what's been given to us, what we've been made, acknowledging every good thing that's in you. How can you acknowledge what you have no knowledge of? How can you manifest or go after or pursue or reach for to lay hold of, as the Apostle Paul instructed us to do by the Holy Spirit? How will we ever reach for something that we don't know is ours? How will we ever pursue something that we don't think is within our capability of pursuing? That is not, you know, that's what the devil loves. And have you considered how tired this lie is? That's not for you. That's not for you. That's not for today. That's not for you. That was for some people, but it's not for you. Why is he trying to do? Because when you start to get some idea of what God has done for you, what he has given to you, what he has made you, and it starts to react with the faith, the measure of faith that he's given you, and now you start to get curious about those things and start to reach out for those things, the devil's trying to discourage you. He's trying to wave you off of those things. And so he starts telling you lies, right? That's not for you. Speaking in tongues is not for today. That's not for the church. Who do you think you are? You can't lay your hands on the sick and the sick recover. Jesus said you could. Jesus said you could. So how can we ever? But let's go to the Ephesian disciples. These were, was it Acts? Somebody help me. 19. You don't look it up. Somewhere around Acts 19. I ought to know that. But anyway, praise God. They come upon this group of born again believers from Ephesus. That's why they're called the Ephesian disciples. And so they find out that they're born again. And so they say, you know, well, have you received the Holy Spirit since you were born again? Because remember, Jesus came to do two things for you. He came to take away your sin. He came to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And so when they realized, okay, these men have received the gift of salvation, the new birth, they've been born again. So now let's see if they have received the second thing that Jesus came to do for them. That's baptizing with the Holy Spirit. And you know what they said? They said, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Spirit. So they're ignorant. Ignorant in the South is fighting words. Ignorant just simply means they don't know. And they don't know because nobody's ever told them. Has God given them the Holy Spirit? Has the Holy Spirit been poured out? Yes. Are they benefiting from that? No. Why are they not benefiting from it? Because they don't understand. Nobody's ever told them. Now, there's a lot of people who have been told, but see, once, how does faith come? Faith come by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So once we're told, once we are beginning to understand, now what do we have to do? We have to respond to that, act upon that by faith. There's a lot of people hear about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and they go, well, you know, I mean, the devil tells them it's not for today, it's not for you, it's not for everybody, you know. Or how about, this is another one. You already got that. You know, you got all the Holy Spirit there is to get when you got saved. Well, that's not what the Word says. I like to say it this way. Being baptized with the Holy Spirit is not so much you receiving more of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit receiving more of you. It's you yielding to Him in a deeper, more profound way. And you learning to cooperate together with Him in a deeper and more profound way. And so notice now, anybody who's been born again is a candidate, meets the requirements, praise God, to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. But it's not being preached. And people don't know about it. And then when it is preached and people hear about it, the devil tries to paint some picture of fanaticism or some picture of you know, isolationism or what, in other words, just anything, any ism he can put out there, right? To try to back people off of or responding by faith to, things that are our rights, privileges and benefits as sons and daughters of God in the earth. So understanding, we're not talking about receiving. Now, if you haven't received the gift of salvation and the gift of the new birth, then amen. Let's do that sooner rather than later. Let's do it now. Amen. But if you've already received, right, you don't just need me to present to you, Jesus died for your sins. If you call upon His name, you'll be saved. We need to go deeper into this and have more understanding. And the less understanding we have, the less knowledge we have, the easier it is for the devil to trick us, the easier it is for the devil to lie to us, the easier it is for the devil to steal from us the things that God has freely given to us. Now, when I say steal, he can't take away what God has given. But how he steals it is by keeping us ignorant of it and never reaching for it, never pursuing it, never operating in it, never walking in these things. Amen. A lot of people can get to heaven one day and find out that they had so many opportunities, so many blessings, so many privileges, so many benefits, so many gifts, you know, so many things available to them right here, right now upon the earth that they never knew, they had no idea of. Amen. Amen. You've heard me say it before. I do not want any of you to come looking for me on that day to ask me why I sit there in that church Wednesday night after Wednesday night, Sunday morning after Sunday morning, and you never told me I could be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You never told me that it was God's desire for me to prosper financially. You never told me that the same blood that forgives my sins is the same blood that heals my body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, last week we kind of dug into some stuff that I had been working on by way of writing. We're not going to do that again tonight. We may do that some more in the future. It kind of helps me, you know, present these things and process these things and stay accountable and stay on track with these things. But we referred to Hebrews chapter 11. And I think it's verse number 3. I've got it somewhere in my notes. Let me just go with this for now, okay? But it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Now, one of the things that blinds people from the light of God. Remember, God's light is the ability to see things as they truly are. Satan never wants you to see things as they truly are. And he especially never wants you to see things as they truly are, where the gifts of salvation and the new birth that you have already been given and received are concerned. Because as long as he can keep you ignorant, as long as he can keep you ignorant, he can keep you defeated. Right? Now, we'll get into this more in the days ahead. We've mentioned it several weeks back, but I think it's fitting for us to say it again right now, okay? Jesus bled to death naked on a cross, became your sin, died and went to hell, so that you could live every day of your life on earth in victory. Amen. Daily victory. But rarely, if ever, is daily victory mentioned when salvation and the new birth are presented. What is presented when salvation and the new birth are talked about? Not daily victory, but eternal destination. Right? What do I mean by eternal destination? You need to get saved or you're going to hell. You need to receive God's gift of salvation. You need to get him to forgive you for your sins, because if you don't, you're going to bust hell wide open, right? And so it's all put within the context. Now listen, that's true. Don't misunderstand me. Your eternal destination is secured by receiving the gift of salvation and the new birth, and there is no other way. But because that's how it's presented to us, there are millions of God's people alive on planet Earth right now who only think about salvation and the new birth in terms of eternal destination and have no idea what it has to do with daily victory in life. And the daily victory in your everyday life that belongs to you because of the victory that Jesus fought and won for you, right? This is what I mean. You can get saved and secure your eternal destination, but very little to nothing change in way of results produced in your daily life reality apart from understanding these things. There's a lady that's at the Foundry. She's new to the Foundry. And, I mean, older is relative, okay? You know, I'm 57 now. I remember when my daddy turned 4. I remember when guys in the high school band looked old when I was a kid. You know, I was like, man, that's a man right there. You know, now you look at those same, you know, 18-year-olds and you go, that's a kid right there, you know. So I'm not exactly sure how old she is, but if I had to guess, and I'm certainly not going to ask her, if I had to guess, I would say she was in her 50s, maybe a little older than that. And raised in church. Matter of fact, I won't give too many details away because I'm not trying to, you know, expose her in any way. But a very close member of her family, somebody that she loves dearly, was her pastor. And she comes up to me now just about every class with tears streaming down her face. She's like, I've never heard this. Are you telling me? No, ma'am, I'm not telling you. God is right here. You see, now what's happening, right, is the experience, the gifts of salvation and new birth that she received when she was a child and that she viewed as being her ticket to heaven one day, right? But what in the world are we going to do between now and that day, right? Let me say it another way. What does your salvation and the new birth have to do with you overcoming and then fill in the blank? And the reality is this. Are you ready? It has everything to do with overcoming, fill in the blank. There's nothing you can name that needs to be overcome on planet Earth that you can't overcome as a blood-bought, recreated son or daughter of God. Greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he who overcomes but he who has been born of God? We should go on and on and on with this, right? I guarantee that. I hadn't asked this question, but I guarantee that sister could tell everybody and anybody who asked them how to get saved. She probably heard it 10,000 times. But see, now we're not talking about how to get saved. Now we're talking about what to do now that we are saved. Do you see the difference there? Okay. Are you feeling me?
Yes, sir.
Amen. I don't know where, but somewhere in what the publishers call it front-end material. So that's like introduction, dedication, that sort of thing. See if I can say this without crying, right? Somewhere in the front of that book, I'm going to, dedicate, I don't know the right word. I'm going to dedicate that book to Samuel, David Lindsay, to Oliver Nolan Lindsay, to Amelia Grace Lindsay, and to Elsie Caroline Winslet, my grandchildren, right? And this is what I'm going to put beneath their names. May you take this book and a Bible and get along with the Holy Spirit for about 3 days. And learn in 3 days what it took your granddaddy 50 years. You follow what I'm saying here? Amen. I will, and not just for them, but, you know, when I didn't think I would ever preach again, my desire was I wanted to know the truth so that I could teach it to my children. Watch, you know, just all the different denominational doctrines and all the different things that I'd been told. And obviously this group disagrees with that group on this point and another group disagrees with this group on that point. And, you know, and I thought, you know what, God, people are confused, but you're not. I just want to know the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. I don't have an axe to grind. I do have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God to swing. I'm here to swing the sword of the Spirit, not in anger, not in even being argumentative, controversial, but absolutely, Brother Don, to be confrontational and to speak the truth in love. Amen. And so when we have all of this uncertainty, the Bible says the righteous are bold as a lion, but the wicked run when nobody is even chasing them. And so many of God's children are living their lives on a daily basis with fear and regret and in selfishness when we should be living in faith and in hope and in love with a confident expectation. But now watch this. Watch this. If we don't understand salvation in the new birth, remember, the devil's always going to tell you that it's not what God says it is. The devil's always going to try to some way nitpick and undermine the day you got born again, the moment you got born again. This may be a little bit of an exaggeration, but I'll just go with it anyway, okay? Every devil in hell was opposed to, whether or not they were there present trying to stop you, every devil, every demon, every fallen angel in the lower atmosphere surrounding this earth trying to manipulate what goes on this earth, they were opposed to you receiving God's gifts of salvation in the new birth. But once you heard the message and faith rose up in you and you chose to act upon that faith and confess Jesus as your Lord, notice not a single one of them or all of them put together could stop you. The same is true with being baptized with the Holy Spirit. They're going to do everything they can to try to keep you from ever hearing about it. Once you hear about it, from ever being curious about it. Once you're curious about it, try to keep you from ever reading what the Bible has to say about it. If they can't keep you from ever reading what the Bible has to say about it, they're going to try to confuse you and tell you it doesn't mean that. It's not for you. It's not for today. But the day you're ready to step out, act on that by faith, right? No devils in hell, not all of them, none of them can stop you. But let me tell you what they will do. They will come immediately to tell you nothing happened. They will come immediately to tell you you're not saved. They will come immediately to accuse you. The first time you're tempted or even give in to temptation and sin, those same devils will tell you, see, you're not saved. If you were saved, you're not like those people down at that church. Why do you even bother going down there? They don't love you. Blah, 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 right? Baptized in the Holy Spirit. That was just emotion. You just got caught up in the moment. They were playing a fast song and you were stammering your lips and you didn't really speak in tongues and that wasn't really nothing and that's just a bunch of jibber jabber and your whole family thinks you're a nut. And if you get hanging out down there with them people at Heritage Christian Center, your company's going to isolate you. Your family's going to not invite you. Blah, blah, blah. See, all these other things. They can't stop you from actually following through. They're going to try to. They can't stop you. But then once you do, they're going to try to keep you from ever understanding and flowing and operating. What choice does he have? I'm talking about the devil. What choice does he have? Just going to sit back and let you hear and receive and understand and just keep on stomping mud hole after mud hole in him? No, so he's not going to do that. Now, by faith we understand. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Now, what are we talking about now? We're talking about creation. When I say creation, we're not just talking about this earth. We're talking about, like, the universe. And no matter what side, and I feel pretty confident that people watching me, listening to me right now, you know, believe that God is the creator. There are some who do not believe that, and there are many theories. And a lot of you know this is a subject that I started on in middle school and have been building and learning and studying and researching and meditating, and I could start talking about God creating and all that and not stop till midnight, okay? I'm not going to do that right now, but let me just stay focused here for a moment. But there are those who believe that. And I try not to be too sarcastic when I say these things, but there are those who believe that there was a time, be it billions or trillions of years ago, when there was absolutely nothing, and then there was some kind of big explosion, a massive release of energy. And when, you know, after millions and millions of years for the dust to settle from that big explosion, time kind of came on the scene and did the rest. And I know you say, well, you're just being simple. You're just making fun. Well, I'm not making fun. What of that whole theory did I violate when I gave it that simple explanation, right? Okay. So, but that's a theory, and a lot of people believe it, all right? Now, number one, you know, I think you probably know this by now. I believe that God created. I believe that God created. Now, the truth, though, listen to me now. I'm talking about truth. The truth is, there is a lot of mystery. God understands laws of physics that govern the universe that men haven't even figured out or discovered yet. God understands mathematical formulas on a light year scale. I mean, the Bible says that he used the span, right, of his hand. I mean, the wisdom there. Okay, but now let me get back to this, okay? The reality of it is, there's still mysteries. Cecil and I have had more than one conversation about the dinosaurs. Now, you can judge me or turn me off or not listen to me ever again or whatever for saying this, but I do not believe that the earth is only a few thousand years old. I believe that just as there will one day be a new heaven and a new earth after this one, that there was an old heaven and an old earth before this one. And just as it would take many, many volumes for every miracle Jesus performed to be recorded and written in, God could have made the first chapter of Genesis 4 feet thick and explained and given detail and revealed mathematical formulas and laws of physics and weights and balances and gravitational pull and angular tilt and all of these things and what the Milky Way has to do with our solar system and what the other galaxies around the Milky Way have to do. The whole universe is in orbit, in perfect sync, in perfect time. This is how God created this. Now listen, whether you believe that or not, the further we are able to see out into the universe, the more these things are being confirmed. Oh, see, I said I wasn't going to do this, and I get stirred up about this. It's exciting, okay? But here's the thing. Whether we've got a couple of chapters about it or whether we've got 10,000 pages about it, it all comes back to, unless you receive and understand it by faith, you'll never understand it. For the record, this book is not a book of creation. This book is a book of redemption. It was never meant to reveal all the mystery, so to speak, of even ancient floods that the Bible seems to mention and point to, long before Noah's flood. But again, it comes back to, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I heard Keith Moore say this, and I think it's pretty cool, right? He said, if you have no problem with that scripture, then you're not going to have any problem with any verse that proceeds after that. If you believe God created the heaven and the earth, you're not going to have any problem believing that Jesus walked on the water or that he raised Lazarus from the dead. But now, if you don't believe that God created the heaven and the earth, then you're going to have problems with a whole lot of other stuff that you find as you work your way through the Word of God. But now let me go back to it. Whether you believe there was a big explosion and the universe and the bountiful life that we now experience on this earth self-generated, or whether you believe that God, an intelligent designer, created it. Either way, watch this now. Either way, both positions, because there's mystery involved, both positions require a leap of faith to understand. See, a lot of people say, well, you know, I don't believe in this. Well, see, what people don't realize, if you don't believe God created it, then whatever it is you still believe something. Because, again, there's mystery. I think God ordained it that way. But there's mystery. Amen. Amen. My friend, you may think you want a God that you can figure out and put in a box, but I promise you, you do not. You want a big God. Are you hearing me? Amen. Who's true to his word. He's true to his word. Amen. But just as Jesus brought things from heaven to the earth and reveal them to us that had been kept a secret since the foundations of the world. There are other secrets. You figured out by now God loves surprises? Amen. I might think 1,000 years from now he's going to say, all right, everybody gather around. Let's talk about what it was like when it was just me, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and there was no physical universe. You see, he understands all that. Now, here's the thing. We will either understand it by faith, or we won't understand it. And in the same way, and I know this, I believe the Holy Spirit revealed this to me to present it this way, okay? You cannot understand God creating the universe and the world that we live in without faith. And in the same way and on the same scale and scope, you cannot understand new birth, salvation in the new birth, unless you also understand it by faith. Because remember what we said last week, the grace that is the bedrock for our gifts of salvation and the new birth, right? That grace is as limitless, it is as eternal, it is as great, and it is as powerful as God Himself. Hallelujah. All right, last statement, and then we'll pray, okay? We know from Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, and of course other places, that in order to receive the gifts of salvation and the new birth, we have to receive them by faith. You're saved by grace through faith. All right. Maybe we'll get into this in greater detail next week, but do you understand, this is new terminology to me, but I feel like the Holy Spirit dropped this in my spirit. We're talking about a comprehension gap. Do you understand what I mean by a comprehension gap? It's like when somebody understands something, you know, way up here. Let me use this example, okay? There were a few years in mine and Matthew's life and being brothers where we ministered. We traveled some together. Neither one of us were dating anybody. He had this really cool sports car. And of course, in those days, he was in school, electrical engineering, and he was into it. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, it's only natural for whatever you're into and involved in and, you know, up to your eyeballs in, staying up all night studying, that you want to talk about it. And so he'd be talking about all these things, Cecil. I mean, it's like, you know, and for the record, there was quite the comprehension gap between what he understood about these things and what I understood about them. Are you following me? Okay, now watch this. I don't have to know everything he knows to benefit from what he knows. If I take his word for it, see the difference? Right? So if he gives a comment, you know, I'm like, yeah, dude, okay, that's cool, man. I'll take your word for it. But amen. That's what it means to understand with the heart. That doesn't mean check your brain at the door. That doesn't mean that, close your eyes, close your ears, close off your mind because there's really not an answer here, but going to pretend like there is. No. See, when I came to believe that God is not a man and His grace is not rational and that He can operate and function on levels much higher than me and do things that men can't do, breathing galaxies out of His mouth. See, now once I believe that with my heart, now all this about creation and things that I don't understand about it, I don't have to understand it. It doesn't keep me up at night. It doesn't bother me anymore. It doesn't rock my faith world. Because the Bible doesn't explain dinosaurs to me. It used to. I'll be honest with you. It used to. Oh, man. nothing in here about this. Leviathan, what does that mean? How do I even know this is true? 2,000 years old. If the earth is only, what, not 2,000, 6,000 years. That's the only, then what about, and then people say, well, the carbon dating's not accurate. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Well, God just messed with all that to fool us. God ain't a fooler. God ain't a deceiver. He's not the father of deception. That's the devil's job. God just trying to throw us off the track by making it seem older than it really is. No! But by faith I understand that there are things he will explain to us, if necessary, down the road. Amen. It's almost like when I let off the gas of that and quit fretting over it, he began to show me some things about it. You know? But once you believe that he is God, he is all powerful, he has always been, he will always be, he is the source of all life, all matter, all reality, all consciousness, all energy, that everything that is came forth from him, that he has always been and he will always be, he is the uncreated one, there is no process by which he came into existence, he was never born, he didn't, start out as a little bitty God and grow up into a big God and now he's like massive God and super, no, he's always been who he is right now and he always will be who he is right now. And everything that we can understand, everything that we cannot understand, everything that we can see, everything that we cannot see, visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, no name greater, no power ever will come or ever will be greater than him. Once you understand all this and you're okay with it, man. But how do you get to that point? I took his word for it. I took his word for it. All right, stand with me. Praise God. So let's take the one last leap as you're standing, right? We've got to take his word for what he said about our salvation. It's one of the great problems that we have here. God says you have been perfected forever. That don't make sense to me. I don't understand that. God says you will speak with new tongues. Well, that my church told me that was only for the early church, not for us. You'll lay your hands on the sick and the sick will recover until God quit healing people. Right? Well, and so notice now, because we're not experiencing some of these things in our life reality, and so we're allowing our experience to reduce the word, redefine the word, instead of allowing the word of God to redefine our experiences. By faith I understand that I've been given his kingdom and his kingdom is in me right now. See, that's what I'm talking about. You're not going to understand salvation and the new birth unless you understand it by faith. And watch this now. It takes faith. I've been trying to say this. I've come this close to saying this every time tonight. It takes faith to receive salvation and the new birth. But watch this. It requires even more faith to understand it. Amen. You got that? Let me say it again. It requires faith to receive and even more faith to understand salvation and the new birth. Father, you're good to us. Thank you for what you're teaching us, what you're showing us, what you're revealing to us. Thank you, Father, for helping us capture what it is that you want us to know and hear and meditate upon and receive with meekness into our hearts and minds and souls, Father, that would move us forward in our understanding, move us forward in our acknowledgement, move us forward, Father, and help develop our faith, Lord, in our ability to understand and walk out what is already true about every born again believer and son or daughter of God in the earth. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Don't have the words to tell you how much I love you. Thank you so much for being here. I hope you got something out of this tonight. Love you guys and gals watching online. Amen. Shout out to mom and dad. I know they're always watching on Wednesdays and anybody else. We love you. Have a great, great rest of your week, and we'll see you Sunday, if not before.